Chapter 4. The Gauntlet. Father rolled to his side and craned his neck to look for Vada's bed. He was hoping to see the bed empty and the pack gone from under it. His eyebrows lifted as he saw that it was empty. Then, a moment later, his hope was shattered as he glimpsed Vada, up and in uniform, vanishing through the doorway. Father scowled and rose to get dressed. Vada was a fine warrior, but there was no ignoring the size disadvantage. If his friend's gauntlet was called today, it would mean certain death. And yet Vada seemed willing to rush right into it. Suicidal.
Roll out! Roll out the gauntlet!
The sergeant's voice seemed hateful to Father now. He filed out with the last stragglers and shoved his way into line firmly beside Vada. He scanned Vada's face for any tremor, any sign of anxiety, but he found nothing. Completely focused on the sergeant, Vada didn't even seem to notice Father was there. The sergeant looked his men over for a moment, thinking of the time they had spent together. He made his choice quickly. He was not a cruel man, and he knew that his men were not soldiers yet, and that some of them were therefore still capable of fear. That would all change after Gauntlet.
Peccary. Sir!
A young man, not much bigger than Vada, stepped forward and saluted.
Today is your gauntlet. Are you prepared?
Sir, yes, sir. Peccary's voice was brave and unwavering. The sergeant nodded, then withdrew a few paces. The men knew what they were expected to do, and they formed two lines facing each other. Each man held either a smooth truncheon or a macana. These were not the usual weapons of the Army of Heaven, but were reserved almost exclusively for Gauntlet. Peccary had no weapon. He took his place at the starting point of the two lines, standing between them, and waited. One of the men in line grinned slyly, taking this freedom because his back was to the sergeant. Another man licked his teeth inside his mouth. Both of these eager ones were men much bigger than Peccary or Vada. Vada's jaw tightened. Father looked down at his feet.
Begin.
The sergeant did not shout, but even so his voice rang out across the dead silence of the camp. Peccary breathed in, and this was also magnified so that everyone heard it. Then he ran between the two lines. There was a half second of continued silence, where the only sounds were Peccary's urgent breath and his feet pounding the grass. Then came the low whoosh of a truncheon descending, followed by another a moment later. There was a sickening hollow thud as the first blow connected against Peccary's back. He gasped and swallowed hard, eyes bulging from the shock of contact, and his body tried stupidly to pause, even though he needed desperately to keep running. The macanas were whistling through the air in front of him and behind him now, rising and falling in a dark forest he could not navigate. No one jeered or shouted, no one spoke at all, and it was much more dreadful this way. Between the blows, there was only the sound of the men grunting as they swung and the thick slap of Peccary's feet against each other as he stumbled forward. The truncheons continued to rain down on him in a dull rhythm, punctuated by the occasional sharp cracking noise when a macana hit bone. Peccary first managed to keep everything in his throat, but as the seconds stretched on into infinity, he could not withhold his cries any longer. No longer knowing what he did, he continued to stumble, blinded by blood, finally inching his way forward on his belly. Still, the weapons fell.
Sergeant!
Peccary's voice held none of its earlier bravery. The sergeant came over to stand abreast of Peccary's position. The boy was halfway through Gauntlet.
Sergeant!
Peccary was faltering now, and his voice was huskier, and still the weapons rose and fell.
I can't. Help! Help me!
The sergeant squatted easily to look at him, putting his hands on his knees. Peccary, listen to me carefully. Are you giving up? He was utterly non-judgmental. The question had to be asked. Peccary barely heard him. He only repeated,
I can't. Help me, sergeant.
The sergeant got up and turned away.
End gauntlet, he barked.
The men on either side of Peccary straightened up and wiped the sweat from their brows, panting. Peccary sobbed with relief and started to crawl toward the sergeant. But for some reason, the sergeant was walking away now without looking back. Dismayed, Peccary tried to call out to him, but a shadow fell between them, and a hand grabbed him roughly by the cheeks, pinching his mouth shut. He heard laughter.
Where are you going?
Wallow, the big man who had smiled earlier, was now blocking Peccary's view of the sergeant. Peccary clawed at Wallow's hand, trying to roll away, trying to follow the sergeant, but the sergeant was still walking away. Away and up to his tent, where he drew aside the flap and vanished from Peccary's sight altogether. Even then, Peccary didn't fully understand. Even as the men formed a circle around him and shut him in, instead of the freedom and light he had expected, he found himself stuck in a denser and blacker forest than before. It was hot, stifling. He could feel the stinking breath of the men against his lacerated skin. Through puckered lips, he tried to beg for his life.
Over. Sergeant said Conlon was...
Some blood and spit ran down his throat and he coughed, dotting Wallow's hand with it. Wallow slapped him hard for that and Peckery's ears rang. Father turned to look at Vada, who was watching the scene motionlessly. He found himself squinting stupidly at the truncheon at Vada's side, wondering what was wrong with it. Then he realized the truth. Every man's weapon, including his own, was slick with blood. Vada's alone was clean. Another man, known as Saint, spoke deliberately.
Dog.
It was the same as a judge pronouncing a sentence, and the others took up the cry. Dog. 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 Father didn't take his eyes off of Vada. He knew that if he did, he would see what was happening to Peckery, and he didn't want to see. Saint knotted his hand in Peckery's hair and ground the young man's face in the dirt, making him choke and sneeze as the grass went up his nose. He felt hands on his back next, ragged short nails biting into his skin as the men ripped his uniform.
No.
And he tasted dirt and felt the grit in his tongue as he tried to beg them one last time.
Don't kill me. The sergeant, he said it's over.
Kill a dog. Wallow laughed from back in his throat, and Father heard, and did not want to hear, the leather sound as the man undid his belt.
Only a soldier is worth killing.
Wallow's voice dropped as he said this, and one or two of the men laughed softly. Father knew then what was coming, and he fought against a rising wave of sickness. He reminded himself that he must only look at Vada.
You won't kill?
Peckery's voice was hopeful, but in the next moment it was clipped off as Wallow jerked forward and the men all leaned in to watch. Peckery seemed to regain his voice all at once and he screamed, a gurgling sound full of spit and dirt that went on and on. Wallow breathed heavily, leaning in to shout against Peckery's ear so he could hear him. This is what a dog is for! He punched him in the ribs, and the men all roared with laughter as Peckery threw up in the grass. Father fought harder with his own stomach. His eyes were watering, making his vision blur, and he couldn't see Vada anymore. Then, he abruptly realized that Vada had left, and as he turned back to face that teeming pile of men clawing and pulling and forcing themselves onto that half-dead and retching boy, someone laughed again. The day passed slowly. Dusk had fallen, and the sergeant had still not left his tent. He raised his head slightly after hearing a feeble scratching sound against the canvas. Returning his attention to his equipment, he muttered, "Enter." The flap to his tent widened a little, then scraped slowly back into place as something caught in it. No one had walked in. This did not alarm the sergeant, and he continued sharpening his weapon until he felt a mute tug at his ankle. Peckery was still alive somehow. They had used him all through the day, finally stopping when hunger and boredom took the place of novelty. He was torn and filthy, and his body would not stop shaking. It taxed the limits of his strength to lift his head. "Yes, what can I do for you?" The sergeant's voice was not the one Peckery had known up until now. He dully recognized the tone as the one sergeant reserved for addressing dogs.
"Help me."
"You've been injured," the sergeant said this matter-of-factly, as if he hadn't been sitting there closing his ears to the awful sounds of the men all throughout morning and daylight. "This is not a medical unit. I regret that I have only untrained men here." This, too, he said as if Peckery didn't already know the camp inside and out, but then Peckery was no longer part of his camp. The young man was racked by a sudden bout of dry heaves, and the sergeant waited quietly for him to recover himself. He did not fault Peckery for it, nor expect differently from him. He was a dog, and dogs were weak. Finally, Peckery managed to whisper, "Sergeant, I am nothing now? You don't care if I die?" The sergeant raised one eyebrow and stood up. He walked across the tent, sidestepping the man on the floor, and called out to the camp. "Volunteers for a detail. Two-man escort for a wounded civilian." He waited silently at the opening to his tent, while behind him, Peckery shook and started to cry. Father came. The sergeant addressed him. "This man needs medical attention. Yandro is nearest, and they have a doctor." Father nodded. "See if you can find another man to help you," the sergeant continued. "That is all." "Sir, yes, sir." Father bent to pull Peckery to his knees. "I am nothing?" the young man sobbed, clutching blindly at Father. The sergeant was under no obligation to answer a civilian. Without looking at him, he replied, "Even a dog has worth. Most men never learn the truth about themselves. You have been taught the truth, and self-knowledge is the key to a fuller existence."
Sergeant.
I am not your sergeant. Now the sergeant looked directly at him, a look devoid even of contempt. This is a military camp. It is no place for a civilian.
Peccary went limp and Father pulled him out of the tent, almost carrying him. The man's legs were worthless. Vada met them at the edge of camp and silently took one of Peccary's arms, putting a shoulder under it to carry the young man between them. Father waited until Peccary had lost consciousness before speaking to Vada.
You will leave now? Vada's head shook. Father gritted his teeth and spat. You arrogant fool! The Army of Heaven is no place for a He was sharply cut off by Vada's hand clamped to his mouth, hard enough to bruise the lips against his teeth. Father sucked on his lips painfully before speaking again. I only worry about you because you remind me so much of my son. Vada's voice was quiet as always. If I die in Gauntlet, is it so different than if I was living some quiet life in some quiet place and the enemy came to my village? Anyone can die. Father remained sullenly quiet, so Vada pressed the point. I would rather face death than hide and hope for the best. Father's reply was bitter. You're talkative today, so you have been thinking about your death. I'm talkative because we're alone. But yes, I've been thinking about my death. Because of this? Father raised his shoulder a little and Peccary's head lulled. But Vada's head shook again. No, he was fortunate. He didn't die. Fortunate? Father spat out the word so violently that Peccary woke up. Yondro? The young man looked helplessly up at them. We'll be there soon. Vada looked straight ahead. You speak to him the same as you did before, thought Father, as if he were still human.
The three of them walked silently the rest of the way to Yondro.
In the morning, when the sergeant called, Roll out for Gauntlet! There were less faces in the line of men that formed for his inspection. One or two men always deserted after witnessing their first gauntlet, in spite of the heavy penalties for desertion. But Vada's face was still there, and so Father stayed.